Well, it was in 1997 that Tara Shores was looking for its first youth pastor. We've never done that before. And I had a friend teaching at Moody Bible Institute who actually started the youth ministry program there at Moody. And I thought, I'll give Bob a call. He might have some ideas. And I called Bob McCray, who, by the way, still teaches there in that program at Moody. And I said, Bob, you know me. You know that we're up here in rural Wisconsin. Do you have any suggestions for who would be a good youth pastor here for Tara Shores? And he said, let me think about that. And he got back to me very shortly, and he said, yeah, I've got a name for you. He said, let me tell you about this guy. He said, his dad passed away recently, and this is the character of this guy. He dropped out of Moody for a semester to take care of his mom so that he could make sure that she was doing okay after that. And he gave us Kurt's name. Well, I got to meet Kurt at, I think I was down there for a pastor's conference when we actually first met the first time, and Kurt came up in the summer of 1997 and was here for 3 years. And during that time, found a wife. Christy came in the middle of that time, and we're so thankful that they could be with us today here. Kurt, you come and share with us from the Word of God. We're just so happy to have you with us this morning.
I ditched my suit coat because I was getting hot. I've been very nervous for a week leading up to this. I can honestly say I haven't been this nervous in a long time. But 14 years ago, maybe this weekend or last weekend, I was up here and I preached for the last time here. And I sang a solo. And I've been waiting 14 years to ask this. Why on earth, Carmen, did you allow me to sing here? I think I sang four solos at Tara Shores. Wow, what a forgiving congregation. Very patient, because I'm a terrible singer. And we still laugh at that today. And I was wondering why afterwards so many people were lined up to say, hey, we'll help you, you know, move out. No problem. We'll be there. My music apparently didn't impact them. But as Gary said, I was the director of student ministries here at Tara Shores from 97 to 2000. Christy and I got married in June of 1999, so she joined me here for a year. Currently, I'm the executive director of Camp Awana. It's a children, teenager, and family camp located in Fredonia, Wisconsin, near Keewaskum, West Bend, Port Washington, about an hour and 15 minutes from here, so we're not that far. We have three children, Bryce, Trent, and Mackenzie, and they're in the back. And it's kind of weird for them to be here. And I see some of the students that I had in youth group, and they have kids, and we have kids. And it's just really neat to see this and experience this with you. We are honored to be here this morning and have very fond memories of our time here at Tara Shores. And this weekend, we're commemorating 60 years, the 60th anniversary of Tara Shores and now River Shores, and what God has done through this ministry, all to His glory. And it's a homecoming. Yesterday, you know, you saw many people who you haven't seen in a while. You saw us, and we haven't seen you in a while. And when someone attends their homecoming, what happens? It's a time for the alumni to share memories, to greet and meet old friends. And also it gives the school a chance to see what's become of their students and also to see the role that they played in their students' lives. And you'll hear a statement often like, I'm a product of your school, or I'm a product of your system. And I would like to say here this morning that I'm a product of your ministry. The 3 years that I was here at Tara Shores, as I come back here 14 years later, I can say that I am a product of your ministry and your love and your investment in my life. In 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, therefore encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. And so my prayer this morning is that those of you who are members and regular attenders would be encouraged and built up by what I have to share about my experiences here at Tara Shores. For those of you who maybe you're a guest and you haven't called this place home yet, I pray that after I'm done this morning, you will see that this is a place you want to call home if you're looking for a church family. This is the place to be in Green Lake County. But before I get to the heart of my message, I thought it'd be fun to look at five key things I learned early on at Tara Shores. Number one, a bubbler is a drinking fountain, not an adult beverage. We call them water fountains or drinking fountains down in the Chicago area. So I come up here, and I don't remember who it was. We were at some event, and they're like, hey, Kurt, is there a bubbler? They're like, what'd you say? Do your parents know that you drink? A bubbler? What are you talking about, man? What? And they're like, you know, to get water in a drinking fountain. I'm like, oh, okay, so that's what a bubbler is. And now that we're in Wisconsin again, we hear people say bubbler still. My kids call it a drinking fountain. They don't know what a bubbler is, but at their school, they call it a bubbler. And I think I debated Tim Bocamp many times on why it's called a bubbler and why it shouldn't be called a bubbler. And he always won those arguments. Number two, Bears fans and Packers fans can coexist in harmony. That is what I learned early on, because it was tough coming up as a young punk from Illinois, from the Chicago area, as a diehard Bears fan. It's very difficult at first to show up on Sunday morning after the Bears, you know, would lose, and I would have to hear it all week, and it was very difficult. But I realized, I matured and said, you know what, we can coexist. Because there's a lot of Bears fans here at Terre Shore, especially in the summer, people from Illinois coming up. But now that we're back in Wisconsin, I've taught my kids that we can coexist. So what did they do? On 12-12-12 a few years ago, Aaron Rodgers Day, my kids wore Bears jerseys to school. And yes, their lives were threatened. We almost had to pull them out of school, but we can coexist, okay? It's going to be a good year, Bears fans and Packers fans. It's going to be very even. It's anyone's game, okay? Number three, deer can and will wreck your car. Everyone warned me about that. Be careful when you drive. There are deer that run around. So I was at a Madrigals performance in Montello for the oldest Wallace girl. I forgot her first name. And I left there, and I was heading down to Midway Airport because I was going to go visit Christy. So I'm flying high, like, I'm going to see Christy. We weren't engaged yet, but it was Thanksgiving. I was going to propose the next month, and I'm, like, preparing, and this is great, going to see her. And I'm driving along all by myself. All of a sudden, a deer comes out. I hit the brakes, and it was like slow motion, and you could see the deer's face, like, no, and hit. And it was a brand new car that I was driving, brand new Ford Escort, zero deductible, so that was good. And it totally smashed my car, but I was still able to drive it. So I called the police, got a police report, and then I drove to Midway Airport. And the whole way it smelled like venison. And so I got back. I remember coming back from the trip to Colorado, and on the car, sure enough, there was still meat, and it was fuzzy. There was hair and all that. But I got it fixed at no cost, which was nice. Number four, a fast food restaurant being built in a small town is a big deal. I remember when A&W was built, and it was like fathers and sons standing out there holding hands. Son, look at this, A&W. It was a special moment. I didn't understand that because I grew up with all that around me, but now I do understand that because living in Fredonia, we have a Subway and we have a McDonald's. But if they built an A&W, I think I would take my kids out there and we would take pictures and we would celebrate. It is a big deal. And the last thing, everybody knows everybody and everything about everybody. So the good thing is, as kids, well, it's good and bad. For parents, you know, if your child does something, someone probably saw it and is going to tell you that, hey, I saw your son or daughter doing this. For kids, that's bad because you can't hide. Everywhere you go, people know you, and you're going to get in trouble. So don't even do what you're thinking about doing. But it's a very intimate, close-knit community. And coming from Chicago, you know, I could walk the streets of Chicago and not know anyone and be anonymous. But then you come here, and all of a sudden you hear someone says, oh, I heard that you did this, or I saw that you were at this. And I'm like, wow, I didn't know that. Are you... Do you have a camera on me, or, you know, is Big Brother watching me? And no, Sally's watching you, or Jenny's watching you, or Johnny. But that's what I learned. Everyone knows everyone, and that's a part of life here, and I had to adjust. So there's a lot of good times here at Terre Shores. And as I look back at what I experienced and what I've continued to see over the years, because I've kept in touch a little bit with Gary, I've really stalked you guys on the internet, going on your website or YouTube, just seeing what's going on. Over the past 14 years, I've looked at a lot of what you guys are doing because I do brag about you guys. to the former churches I was at and to people at Camp Awana. I've bragged on Terra Shores to them about how special it is, and so I've tried to keep up. But I wanted to look briefly at five principles that stand out at Terra Shores, five foundational truths that help set a foundation for me in life and in ministry, and why I believe God has continued to use Terra Shores over the years. And the first thing is the centrality of God and His Word. And we're not going to do, I'm not going to take you through a passage, so I'm sorry if you're expecting expository preaching. I'm going to be using a number of different verses and sharing stories, so this won't be a typical sermon that you might be used to. But the centrality of God and His Word. You know, when I first came up, I had to agree to the doctrinal statement, which I agree to today still. And I knew that it said, we believe in one God, creator of all things, holy, infinitely perfect, and eternally existing in a loving unity of three equally divine persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so I knew, wow, okay, they believe this. I believe this. This is key. But I wondered, how is this going to play out? How is this going to play out at Terra Shores? I have no idea. I'm a city boy. How's it going to play out in the country? What is this going to look like? Gary is an amazing man. I learned that early on, but how is this going to show itself? And it didn't take long for me to figure out that this is the heartbeat. This is at the center of who Terra Shores is, the centrality of God and His Word. And in many one-on-one meetings with Gary and prayer times, he would pray this prayer, which I keep coming back to this verse more than any other in my life. And at Camp Awana, you could ask people at Camp Awana, I share this and pray this all the time. Psalm 127:1. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. You hear that? Unless the Lord is the builder, you're building in vain. You're laboring in vain. And that struck me, even though I had read that many times, Gary kept referencing that. And it finally sunk in, and I realized, yes, the Lord has to be the builder of my life, of this youth group, of our lives, of this church, of Camp Awana. He has to be the builder. He has to be the general contractor of our lives. And if He is not the focus, it's futile. What's the point? It's about Him. He's got to be at the center. And in some of your YouTube videos, I saw a promo video just the other day. Some of the members in there said, it's not about us. It's not about us. And I was like, look, they backed up what I was going to say. Great. Before I knew that you guys made that video, I put this together. But I know that all these years, because the leadership has remained consistent, this is the heartbeat of who Terra Shores is, the centrality of God in His Word. And it's not about you. You make that clear. And that is so refreshing. As Pastor Rick Warren says in his book, The Purpose-Driven Life, he starts off right away, the first words, it's not about you. And for some people, they can't get past that. They close the book and throw it away. Say, what? It's supposed to be about me. What do you mean it's not about me? I just saw a clip the other day where a famous preacher's spouse shared to the congregation of thousands and millions are watching. She said, do good for you, not for God. God wants you to be happy. And when you do good, God is happy. Do good for you. It's all about you. And I thought it was a joke at first. I thought, you know, someone had edited the video. This was strictly right off of her lips. Do good for you. And it should be a given, right, that a church has its focus on God. But that's not the case, unfortunately, everywhere you go. I've served in two other churches and met with many, many pastors and youth pastors. Now as the director of Camp Awana, I get to meet all kinds of people from all kinds of churches. And they share. I'm like a safe person. They get to dish their dirt and share their successes and their failures and what they're frustrated with. And unfortunately, some churches lose their way because they start focusing on numbers. Numbers are important. But that becomes their all-consuming passion. Numbers, numbers, numbers. Or they bow to a rock star pastor. Now, Gary is not a rock star pastor. It's not about him, right? And there are so many churches that have made it about the pastor. They have so much power, and it's about their books. It's great to write books, and it's great to have worship CDs and all that, but so many churches have gotten sidetracked, and it's become a one-person show. Like you can't tell a pastor no. They're going to tell you what to do in every situation. Or making it about buildings or making it about money. Those are all key things, but that can't be the heartbeat. The leadership of this church has kept the focus on pleasing an audience of one. And that was reiterated yesterday at the Turning Point. So I never had any doubts about that here at Terre Shores. And I'm so glad, coming from Chicago, 22 years old, to have come to such a solid church where you guys taught me, keep the main thing the main thing. Don't get focused on some of these other things. Focus on God. Allow Him to be the builder. Otherwise, you're doing this in vain. It's got to be about Him. And I know that seems so basic. But again, so many churches have missed that. You guys haven't. And I thank you for that. And then the Bible, I never doubted what playbook Terre Shores was using. The Bible is the playbook at Terre Shores. Discussion always came back to, what does God say in His Word, and what does He want us to do? Wow. 14 years later, I know that is still the case. This is a solid church who sticks to God's Word for their marching orders. Listen to what Hebrews 4:12 says. For the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. See, this church, you guys believe that this book is alive and well. Whether it's in paper form, or it's on the internet, on your iPod, your iPhone, whatever, in the sand out there, right? You believe that God can take His Word and change lives today in the 21st century. Gary is not trying to reinvent the wheel. He is sharing the truth. You are so blessed to be sitting under solid biblical teaching, alive and active. God continues to change lives. And the great thing, God's Word is not just for head knowledge, right? It's not just so you learn all these facts, but it's to bring about life change, living out what you are learning. James 1:22 says, do not merely listen to the Word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. And at Camp Awana, I stress that. We have a memorization program. We want kids to memorize Scripture. But I say, if a kid memorizes just one verse during the week, and they understand it, and they're going to live it out, hey, that's great. I'm excited. I will give that child a high five and say, carry on. Some memorize 30 verses during a week and don't have a clue as to what they memorize. They're just running through it real quick. They want to get it memorized and get an award. And God can still honor that and bring that back to their heart later. But growing up, I would memorize Scripture but not live it out. I missed that. I thought it was just about head knowledge. I didn't see the point of putting that into practice. And so I think Gary's heart, the leadership's heart here is, guys, don't listen to this. Put it into practice. Let's apply this to our lives. And looking back at your sermon history the past year, you've been going through the book of Luke, correct? And you were going verse by verse. You were getting so much knowledge. And I know some is easier to apply than others. There's some that, some of it you look at it and you don't understand and you wrestle with it. And that's good. You wrestle with it. Understand it, learn it, read it, ultimately live it out. Because I don't think, most pastors just don't want to hear a good sermon, thanks. You know, you did a great job with your sermon. Most pastors want you to live it out. Practice this, put it into practice. Don't let God's Word just sit there in your head. Live it out. And what's neat is God's Word, the message of this church, the message of our camp is never going to change. It's always going to stay the same. This is God's timeless, unchanging Word. But the way, the methods that you share it changes. I mean, I remember being in two plays here at Terre Shores. The Esther play, and that better not never hit YouTube, because if it does, I'm going to sue you guys. And then Noah, there was a Noah play, and there may have been more since then, but when I was here, we did those two plays. And wow, what a production. When I look back at how the stage was decorated and everyone memorizing their lines and just telling the truth of God's word. It wasn't a show. It was taking God's word and acting it out, living it out. I remember a lot of people were impacted by those plays. I mean, look at the videos that you guys use now. I mean, Nate, I think, is in charge of that, correct? Wow. It's amazing how you guys take video testimonies and put it on YouTube, and I'm sure you show it in here, and how God takes that and impacts lives. Or video clips. I saw you used a video clip, was it Flip Wilson recently? Taking a video clip and redeeming it to help share God's word and to meet people where they're at. See, the message is never going to change here as long as this leadership is here. I can tell you that. I can honestly say that the message and the focus will never change. But the way that you share it can change. Jesus was the most creative person. How he used miracles and parables. And people were blown away. Who is this guy? Why is he hanging out with us over here playing bags and telling us about God? You know, as a rabbi, he should be doing this or that. They were floored. They had never seen anyone like this. And we owe it to God's word to share it in a contemporary creative setting, which you guys are doing very well. And it's so encouraging. I have showed other people your videos and said, here, the church I was at in Wisconsin, look what they're doing. You know, this is stuff we want to do. And we weren't able to fully do it as well as you guys are doing it. You guys are doing it right. So God has used this church to help set a solid ministry foundation for me concerning the centrality of God, keeping the focus on Him and His Word. Thank you, thank you, thank you. The second principle I learned is faith expressing itself in prayer and action. Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. This verse is modeled here at Terra Shores. The congregational prayer that you just did, I've never seen that anywhere else where people verbally share publicly prayer requests. And the great thing about it is you're lifting it up to our Heavenly Father who can do something about it, but you're also giving others an opportunity to act. So based on what was shared here this morning, some of you are going to continue to pray outside of Sunday morning. Some of you are going to send an encouraging note. Some of you are going to make a visit. You're going to bring a meal. You're going to maybe help with a financial need. So not only is it going to our Almighty God, Creator of the universe, but it's being shared among God's people who can then act, who could be God's hands and feet right here. So I can remember different opportunities where people prayed for me here and then someone showed up with chicken noodle soup because I was sick. Or someone wrote a check, like Nate said, someone would make a donation. Or someone would just send me an encouraging note and that would really help get me over the top and move me forward to what I needed to do. I mean, think about this. Prayer, the God of the universe, who is so amazing, so huge that we can't even fully describe, and we get a glimpse of how awesome He is. All these things happening in our world. I mean, think right now as we're here, think about all that's happening in our world. And yet, He is intimately involved in our lives. He is listening. He cares about each and every one of us and what's going on here at Terra Shores. That He is 100% attentive. No matter what. How is that possible? It's because He's a great God, and if I could describe it, He wouldn't be much of a God to talk about, right? He is so big. Why wouldn't we want to talk to Him? So keep doing what you're doing. You have set an amazing foundation for me and so many others with your congregational prayer and making prayer one of the focuses here. Because from what I remember, and it seems it's continue on, the motto here has been, let's pray and see what God wants us to do, and then act or not act. I remember praying about, could we buy this property over here? This would be great, right here, right out here. We use this, and we use it more than the county uses it. Could we buy it? And we prayed, and it seemed like, no, the answer is no. Or we looked at across the way there, it's wetlands. Could we ever build there? No. We prayed about programming, and God and it helped us to come up with some new creative programming and take steps in that area. Some of it failed. We did a couple of Christian dances, Alex Schwint and I, we had a fog machine and we had the lights going and all that. And that wasn't as successful as we had hoped, but we tried it. And the church was very forgiving in that sense and said, go for it. You know, we're willing to let you fail. Try it. The church prayed about people coming to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And you still do that today. And we saw people come to faith in Christ. We see people that we're still praying for, that we hope one day will come to faith in Christ. But it's modeled here by the staff, the elders, the board, the entire congregation. I remember the discussions. We have money sitting here. You know, we better do something with it. And it was like, well, let's pray and see what God wants us to do. And look what God had planned years later. Berlin and the Turning Point. That money could have, you know, I don't know the finances, so I don't want to speak ignorantly here about that. I just remember, you know, sometimes people got nervous. There's money building up. We can't have money building up. We got to do something with it. Well, let's pray and wait and see what God has for us, because we could spend this quickly. And look what God had planned years down the road. But there was a maturity of, let's pray and wait, and then act when we have to act. Not just pray and use that as an excuse not to do anything. We will act when we need to act, which is evident. There is a church being built in Berlin. People are already meeting there. People's lives are already being impacted. And there's a turning point. And none of that is cheap. It costs money to do ministry. And the Lord has blessed Terre Shores with that. So we have followed suit as a family. Briefly, our story. We were at a church in Naperville. I was the youth pastor there. We were there for 8 years. But towards the end of our stay there, I was really kind of getting burnt out with ministry. I was ready to try something new. Christy and I were ready to, you know, see what else is out there. And I actually contacted Gary and said, I'm looking into going to guidance counseling at a school. And I need to apply to a school, a grad school, and I have like 2 weeks to get all this in. You know, people spend months and prep for this. I had 2 weeks to take the exam, what is it, the GRE, to do a 12-page paper, to get my transcripts, application, and references all in. And Christy and I were like, well, if I get in a two-week time frame, that's a good sign God wants us to do this. So Gary gave a reference. I did everything I needed to do, and remarkably, in 2 weeks, I was accepted. I passed the GRE just barely. I mean, I bought the GRE for Dummies book through Amazon. It came in the mail, and I'm studying, and I'm like, are you kidding me? I don't know any of this stuff. And then I sit down at the computer and take the test, and I just barely passed. And so I started to take classes and said, all right, God, I'm going to continue to be a student pastor, and I'm going to work hard and do what you've called me to do, but I'm going to also start, you know, down this road and see what I can learn and what you're doing with this. And I learned a lot in those classes that I was able to apply to student ministry, which was great. Had a great relationship with the professors and also my fellow classmates. So I was ending my summertime there, and Christy and I had decided a few days earlier, let's take the kids to Camp Awana. We could sign the boys up. They could be campers, and we can volunteer. So I contacted Camp Awana and said, we'd like to come as volunteers. Our kids want to come and be campers. And so we went to camp, and I was a Bible teacher. Christy helped in many areas. And one of the mornings I was at the beach, and the president of the board of camp said, have you ever thought about Camp Awana? And what he was saying was, have you ever thought about being the director? Because they had been without a director for like 6 or 7 years. It's a long time. That's an eternity for a camp. And I said, no way, no how, no desire, not interested. Are you kidding me? That would be the worst job ever. That is like day and night, there's like no rest, it's stressful. You know, there's just a lot of liability. Well, shortly after that, a few hours later, the Lord started kind of smacking me around. Like, who are you? You didn't even bring this to me. You said no, didn't even leave the door open, not even a crack. You totally shut them down without talking to me. Who do you think you are? And so my heart started to soften. A couple days later, I went to Christy and said, Christy, I need to talk to you. She said, no, you don't. It's okay. Like, I know you can read my mind, but this is a little ridiculous. There's no way you know what I'm going to say. I said, Christy, we need to talk. No, it's okay. I said, I'm going to talk to you about coming to camp to be the director. Yes, it's okay. Like, wow, are you kidding me? The Lord that week started to melt our hearts. And it's not like it happened immediately, but it took 18 months of up and down, yes, no, maybe, for us to finally become the director there. And we prayed. We said, God, we are willing. If you call us, we feel like we have to do it. We would be disobedient if we didn't do it. I imagine saying no to camp, walking to the office at the church, sitting down and saying, oh, I can't believe it. I can't believe I said no. I'd be very restless. And camp said, we have no money to pay you. We don't know where you're going to live. There's no health benefits. Nothing. You have three kids. That was tough to swallow at first. That was, wow. We're in a nice area in Naperville. I get paid. Christy's working at Sweet Baby Ray's Barbecue, doing real well there. Do we want to put all this aside? Should we take this risk? We have three kids. People are going to look at us and say, you're being very foolish. You're putting your family in harm's way. But we kept praying, and God kept opening the doors and saying, go, trust me. It's about me. I love this camp more than you do. I have more at stake than you do. Trust me. Follow me. Go for it. And so we said, all right, we're going to do this. And when we told our kids, we have it on video. I hope we still have that clip. We told them, and our daughter Mackenzie just stood there and cried tears of joy. She was like, we're going to Camp Awana, and just the tears flowing down her eyes. Because the short amount of time that they were there, they were made for that place. They just loved it. And then we had to say, well, wait, guys, don't tell anyone yet. We're telling the church on Sunday. But we wanted to honor you guys and tell you ahead of time. Wait till we tell the church on Sunday. And so sure enough, this was in April of 2012. We started June 1st, 2012 at Camp Awana. We showed up. We found renters for our house. We lived in a cabin up there. Ended up living there for 11 months. No kitchen, no laundry in there, no stove, no oven. Some rough times. A very old cabin. But through the process, the camp had said, we're willing to build a house there for you and future directors, but you have to help raise the money. And so what did we do? The church that owns the camp pitched in money, and then we sent out letters and talked to people, and we raised all of the money to build the house. And we had volunteer labor for the most part, just like you experienced at the Turning Point. And we built a gorgeous house. Unbelievable. What is there now? I have to pinch myself sometimes that we're going home today to a finished house. And in the basement, I have an office. Christy has an office. So we can work there right at home and be around our kids. And because there's so much to do, it's nice to have that right there in the basement. And a great room in the basement. And a bathroom and a guest room for family and friends to stay. And then upstairs, there's no wasted space. Christy designed it. There literally is nothing wasted. It is all being used. And the kids have their own room. We have a room. Then we have a living room and a kitchen. And it's gorgeous. We just love it. And at first, we were just going to drop a house. Not like the Wizard of Oz one blowing in, but we were going to drop a prefab. And we're like, let's just do that. It'll be quick. It'll be less expensive. And just as this church has done, people on the board said, let's give God a chance here. He's going to use this to bring people together. Watch this. He's going to bring people out of the woodwork, and they're going to give of time and materials and money. And he's going to use this as a rallying point to bring Camp Awana, to build momentum at Camp Awana, and we're going to take care of your family. We're like, all right, let's do it. And I look now, if we would have just dropped the house, we wouldn't have built offices in the basement. It wouldn't have been done right, probably. And people would have been really upset with the money they donated, and we took shortcuts. But people have been waiting. People were waiting in the wings to get on board. And once we took that, not people said, you're not taking a step, you're taking a leap of faith into the Grand Canyon. And some people thought we were very stupid, as I said, and we would not make it. But our house was built. And then we didn't know how we were going to get paid. I didn't have time to go raise support like a missionary where you go make appointments. We haven't done that to this day. We've just sent out letters. And camp has a big enough base of people that love camp and love us that they've supported us. But it gets scary at times. You know what it's like as a missionary, Gary and Carmen, with three kids, and wow. Our camp hasn't grown to the point where we can just pay all the staff and, hey, let's bring in all these staff. We're working on that, but it's going to take time. But we said we are willing. We're going to pray and we're going to act and allow God to lead us. That's exactly what you guys do at Terra Shores, and I learned that early on here, that we're going to follow God and His lead, and we're going to talk with Him about it and see what He says. And so here we are today, 2 years later. We've been running Camp Awana, and there's a lot of excitement, there's a freshness, a lot of new groups coming and campers. We started family camp, a lot of new volunteers, just a new excitement. And this is God's camp. We understand that. And I remind everyone, it's not our camp, it's God's camp. And He's going to do something, and we want to get on board with what He wants to do. And the verse that we always use, Ephesians 3, 20 through 21. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Christy kept reminding me of that verse. Not that God's going to make everything perfect, but He's able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine. And she used to think, and she still does, I can imagine and think about a lot. And God's going to take care of us. He's going to surpass us and make sure that our family is all right. All right, I'm going to trust Him. And sure enough, He's done that. It has not been easy. It is exactly what we thought. It's going to be very difficult. It's hard, hard work. But our kids are excited to be there. God is at work. He's used it to help bring Christy and I together. And we are taking those steps to say, God, where do you want us to lead this ministry? And we're at the point now after 2 years where we have to slow down. You know, you could start going so fast and you get ahead of everyone and get too far. We're saying we have to slow down and, you know, recuperate, get some rest, and get more staff, because we can't keep this pace. Bill Hybel said, the pace I am doing God's work is destroying God's work in me. Because there's two moments in his ministry life where he was ready to chuck it all. He was done. And I read that and said, that makes so much sense. You can't continue at that frantic pace. Even Jesus rested, took time out. We have to re-energize. So that's our story of where we are today. And we've had this week to relax at home and then be here with you guys, knowing that Tuesday and Wednesday will come and we'll have a lot of work waiting for us. But the joy of what God has seen, what we have seen God do, is we've had a lot of campers this summer come for the first time and experience the Savior and Camp Awana, and they're falling in love with both. We want them to fall in love with the Savior, but if it takes falling in love with Camp Awana first to getting them to fall in love with the Savior, however God wants to do that. But we always point to the Savior. And not just, it's about Camp One, it's about the Savior. The third principle, and I know I need to speed this up. The third principle that stands out to me about Terra Shores is people matter. There's a love for fellow believers in Jesus Christ. John 13, 34 through 35. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. My first visit to Terra Shores, I'll never forget that. Gary and Carmen and their family welcomed me in. They treated me like a relative, like a long-lost son, like a brother. And I remember meeting with the elders. I remember doing a bonfire. I don't know whose house that was, but I remember going out to a farm and doing a bonfire. And I just felt so loved and welcomed. And I remember going home and went to my dorm room at Moody, and I was homesick for this place. Like, I need to go back there. There was something special there. There's a family environment. They loved me. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And I think this is an attractive community where that is modeled, where you guys genuinely love fellow believers. And it's easy to see the relationship of the staff members. I don't know all the ins and outs, but just watching them together, it's fun to watch. It's exciting to watch that there's a love for one another. And the congregation watches that. How does our staff treat one another? How does the elders and the board, how does the leadership act towards one another? There's a love for fellow believers here. And then there's a love for those who aren't believers in Jesus Christ. Colossians 4, 5, and 6. I think you take this very seriously. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Be wise in how you act towards people who aren't followers of Christ yet. I had a freedom here to be out and about and to get to know people, to be in the community, not to be stuck and live in my office. I had that office downstairs in between the youth room and the nursery, that little crib room, yeah. And someone broke in there once and stole some stuff. But I was told, you know, come in the office in the morning, but in the afternoon and at night, go make a difference. Be around people who are Christians and those who aren't Christians. It wasn't like insulate yourself. Just be around Christians. Just talk to our church youth. Don't talk to the other kids. No. I had a freedom to be out and about. I was able to be a track coach. You allowed me to be a track coach for 2 years. Do you know how healthy that was? I was able to be right there at school and work and encourage these students, these athletes, and help them and get to know their parents and celebrate with them and, you know, slap them on the back after a tough time and say, hey, get them next race. You allowed me to do that. I got to know the staff of the school and of the track team. Went to their house to work on track stuff. I mean, it was so neat. I was around people who don't know Christ all the time. And that was my heartbeat. I want to make a difference and get to know them and build a relationship and see what God does. You allowed me to go visit the nursing home in town. And I would do services there or just walk around, get to know the residents, because you guys saw the value in making an impact with people outside the church. We started using the church van to bring kids out to youth group. So we met at A&W, or was it Amoco? Before the A&W was there, we started with a car, and then it was getting too full, so we went to two cars, and then we said, well, let's take the van. So we filled the van, then we had to get another car, and sometimes another car. And we drive a lot of unchurched kids out here, because we saw the value in welcoming them in. This isn't a country club for Christian kids. We want kids who don't know Christ to be out here and experience this. And now I hear Ryan drives a bus, meets over at A&W, and drives a bus of kids out here. How exciting. It's because you value people who don't know Christ. You guys are committed to sharing the life-changing message of Jesus Christ to those who have not placed their faith in Him as their Savior. And you meet them where they're at. You want to see them come to faith, and then when they do, help them grow. In the book Unchristian, I don't know if you've ever heard of it, it was written a few years ago, they interviewed 16 to 28-year-olds about Christianity and Christians in the church. And one of the things that stood out, I read this book, and one of the things that stood out was they said, just love me. Don't make me your project. don't make it your goal to save me. Just love me and meet me where I'm at, and let's see what happens. Show me that you care before you just spew the gospel message at me and make it all about, I'm just going to share the gospel. Every time I see you, I'm going to invite you to church. Meet me where I'm at. Understand what's going on in my life. Ask me questions before you just, you know, make it your project to save me. And I've seen that here, where this church doesn't cram the gospel message down people's throats. You guys meet people where they're at. And in time, sometimes it's early, sometimes it takes a while, you're able to share the gospel message. But I would say no one in Green Lake County would say that's a judgmental church that just looks at people as you got to convert them and that's it. You genuinely care about people. Yes, you want to see people come to know Christ, but you are willing to be real with them and meet them where they're at. And I thank you for that, how you modeled that, and I've been able to carry that on. At Camp Awana, I say to our cabin leaders or other staff, if a kid leaves here and they're not a Christian, that's okay. We want them all to become Christians, but we can't force that. What is our role? Our role is to just share the message and allow God to work in their life, and they have to make that decision. We can't force it. And that's been very freeing for a lot of our staff, because they used to feel that pressure. I'm a failure because I have 8 kids in my cabin, 4 of them aren't Christians, and they didn't come to Christ at camp that week. But then I say, did you share the gospel? Did you model it? Did you love them? Yes, I did. You did what you were called to do. You can't take on that responsibility of saving the world. Jesus is the one who's saving the world. He died and rose again, and faith in him is the only way. We point them to the Savior. And so I love the fact that you guys do that. People matter to God, and they matter to Terre Shores. Number 4, 2 Timothy 4:2. Being authentic. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. I use that verse because it says, be prepared in season and out of season. And I think you guys are who you are. You are authentic. You are always prepared because you don't change. You're not perfect. You make that clear in your videos. It was shared, I think, by Nate this morning. I heard it yesterday. We all know that it's not a perfect church. It's made up of imperfect people. But you're authentic. You are prepared in season and out of season to share and be who you are, because you are who you are. And that's why I was able to put my suit coat aside and say, you know what? Looking out, you guys aren't in suits. And I could take my tie off right now, but if I unbutton this, there's a white t-shirt. It just doesn't look the greatest, right, for me. But you guys are who you are. You are authentic. You know the community you live in and minister in. And you see many churches that make mistakes of copying programs from other churches and trying to translate something from Florida to here. And I don't think you've made that mistake. You understand exactly the community you're in, the people here, and you cater it to meet the people here, like a missionary does. Let's get to know the people and reach them. Let's not bring in stuff that no one's going to understand. And so I didn't always understand why we did certain things here at that time, but now looking back, I do understand. I was coming in with a big city mentality. I mean, a 7:30 a.m. service, I've never seen that anywhere. That would not work at the other churches I was at. No one would be there. But 7:30 works here. And then 9 and 10:30, 3 services, wow. But you are a genuine and authentic group of people. And part of authenticity is admitting your shortcomings. And in some of these videos I've seen, wow, people are talking freely about their past, what they've experienced, and how God has brought them through some rough times. This isn't, let's all get dressed up and wear our Sunday best and pretend like everything's perfect. You guys are real people, and I love that. Thank you for modeling that back then and today. And then the last principle that stands out to me, leadership, leadership, leadership. Hebrews 13:17. Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. And that verse only works if you have the right leaders, right? And you guys have the right leaders. You've had consistent leadership for over 20 years now. And so there's a resounding yes when you say, does this represent Terra Shores? Yes. I learned so much from the elders, interacting with them and being in meetings with them, watching them with other people. I remember calling Alan Zastro. I had this old yellow car that my stepfather donated to me. And that was right about the time that I was interested in Christy. And she was flying from Colorado, and I was going to pick her up at the airport. And I thought to myself, if I go pick her up in this old yellow car, that's it. I have no chance. And so I was at the Ford dealer in Ripon, and I saw they had a brand new Ford Escort, 0% financing. And I went, oh, wow, this is the car. So I had been shopping with Alan Zastro previous to that, so I called him. I had to grab a payphone, I think it was. Yeah, we had payphones back then. I called him, got a hold of him at the bank, and said, Alan, there is a Ford Escort. It's black, brand new, 0%. What do you think? He's like, well, you know, as a banker, I don't know. Have you weighed everything? I'm not sure. I'm not sure you're ready for this. I'm like, she's so cute, though. I have to do this. Have you seen her? She's hot, you know. And I think he's kind of like, I'm not sure. You'll have to make the call. But he wasn't totally convinced. But I said, I'm doing this. And so sure enough, I traded in or scrapped a yellow car and bought a black car. But I trusted Alan. I trusted him. I was early 20s. My father had passed away. I didn't know who to call. We had already been out shopping together. I trusted him, and sure enough, I bought the car. And I'm married, so it worked. But you have amazing volunteers, an amazing board that run all the different ministries at Terra Shores. I mean, VBS alone, right? Your leadership to run that, with the number of kids that you have come through here, and then to have parents come and see the program and to see the hard work that you put into it. Wow. And by the way, the church carpet, you got it because I put duct tape on the old carpet, and when we removed it, it left marks, you know? And so we decided after that we better get new carpet. So you're welcome. But more than anybody else, I learned foundational and life-altering truths from Pastor Gary. And he's a very humble man. And I don't want to embarrass him, and he does not like the spotlight. So please forgive me. But you have a special pastor. I have not seen anyone like him anywhere. He's genuine. He's godly. He's faithful. He's patient. He's respectful. He's intelligent. He's wise. He's a role model. He's a leader. He's a prayer warrior. He's a teacher. You can go on and on. You guys have the right person in charge, humanly speaking, earthly speaking, who looks to his Lord for guidance. And he has an amazing wife who's served alongside him. Loves the Lord and loves people. As I said, they welcomed me into their home and took me on as a single guy. But I see the way they treat others, the way they listen and care. They bring back things that you shared with them. How's this going? How's that going? They're respected by others in the community. When they talk, people listen. Your church is in good earthly hands, because the people whose hands it is in, they're looking to the Father. And if I can follow Gary's lead as the leader of this church at Camp Awana, the Lord will be free to do a lot of work there. So that has stuck out with me. I have told other pastors I've served with, I've told people at camp, it's a unique place, and they have the most amazing pastor. And he's human. I've seen him get mad. Usually it was when I blocked his shot in basketball. I've seen him get yelled at by parents and coaches. reffing basketball. You know, I was there reffing with him at times or watching him. But he always kept his cool. I've never seen him tear someone to pieces verbally or physically. I've just seen him be a genuine, godly leader who knows his calling and knows who he is and doesn't want to be a rock star pastor. Even though he wears funny outfits in those videos, you've seen them all. So leadership, leadership, leadership. You guys have it right. So as I close here, Philippians 1, 3 through 6 is a good representation of my feelings towards you as a church. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. This is a special church that God has used to change lives in the past, present, and will continue to in the future. Just this weekend, the opportunity for us to be here, to show our kids Terra Shores and to meet so many of you, to see old students, and to stay with the Dillies. Joe Dilly was my wife's boss. He was a member of the church, part of the leadership. Joe loaned me his car when I first moved up and didn't have a car. We rented from him. And I don't know if the rent rates are still as low as they were, but wow, that was a good deal. And he was a friend. And this weekend, to be able to stay with them and rekindle that and to have our kids play with Justin last night, play pool, and to hear the good times they were having and just how we were so taken care of. And I've been so nervous to speak here this morning, probably didn't enjoy it as much as I should have because I was nervous to get up here. But you guys are part of our family. You'll always be a part of our lives. And I thank you for what you're doing here and what God is going to continue to do through you in the future. Happy 60th anniversary, Terra Shores. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this honor and this privilege to share this morning with members of our family. Lord, we spent 3 years with them here, but Lord, we know we're going to spend eternity with them in heaven because of our faith in you, Lord Jesus. I thank you for what you've done at Terra Shores the past 60 years, what you're doing now, and what you're going to continue to do. May they continue to model and live out what I shared this morning. And Lord, I pray that they would know that they serve as great examples and role models to us. And what they are doing is impacting those at Camp Awana now as we pass on what we have learned. Thank you for being such an amazing God. Thank you that it is all about you. This is your church. We serve at your camp. It's your kingdom. And may we continue to put the focus on you, but also remember those who you've worked through, who have faithfully partnered with us and taught us. All for your glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.